toast.
Toast.
Right here. Right now. Most important thing in life will always be the
Movie Squad.
Salute me, familia.
Hello and welcome to the Movie Squad podcast. My name is Simon Morado.
And I'm Cecilia Allen.
And this is your weekly catch-up on all things movies in Perth, WA, where we broadcast on RTRFM at 7:30 every Friday with Pam Boland, sharing reviews of the latest cinema and streaming releases. Tristan Fidler, my wonderful co-host, is away on special assignment, but so great to have Cecilia with us for the month of October, and it's Friday the 13th as well. Cecilia, have you been enjoying the month so far?
Yes, it's such a good excuse to put on a horror film.
Absolutely.
And watch. So yeah, Friday the 13th, and then we've got Halloween, so yeah, catching up on some new horrors and going back and watching some old ones for nostalgia. Things like I Know What You Did Last Summer is always
fun. Are you
really?
Yeah?
I do love a good slasher flick. I just, for some reason, love them. So.
What about Valentine?
Yeah, why not?
I'm just trying to think of other ones from the year 2000. Urban Legend.
Oh, Urban Legend. They're good ones, aren't they? So go back and watch some of those. But I might try and do some, look for some more obscure ones that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, so. fair call. Well, this week we do cover horror, but in the second half of the episode, you actually look at an Australian drama. Do you want to talk a little bit about that quickly?
Yeah, it's called Three Chords and the Truth, and it's inspired by the real life story of Brisbane musician Jackie Marshall, who she writes the music and lyrics for the film. Low budget indie film in cinemas now.
Lovely. But first, we got to give the people what they want. A scary movie. Here's my review of the Shudder streaming original VHS 85.
So, why don't you just tell us where you got these videotapes from? Just tell us what they are.
We bought a video recorder. And that's when I had the first nightmare.
I don't think that you know what you're dealing with.
Give me that camera.
I started seeing these images. I recognized them.
Recognize them from where? Wanna tell me what's on this?
Is that beta?
Yep.
Nice.
If your God exists, does he require summoning?
Every Friday on Breakfast, we, of course, take some time for the cinematic arts and we look into the brains of the blockbuster babes themselves, Simon and Cecilia. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, so glad to have you here, Friday the 13th. Spooky.
Happy Friday the 13th to all who celebrate.
It's fallen in, like, such a spooky month as well. Sometimes they come in, like, random months, but this one was knew what it was doing.
This is great. This is a lovely confluence, Cecilia, for you and I, horror fans. Pam, I appreciate this is the time where, you know, you grab the throw rug, you hide.
So frightened.
We just got to get to 12:01 a.m. Saturday, Friday, the 15th or the 14th of October to get away from this spooky date. But I love
tomorrow
it.
Could be a spooky date.
Well, very true. But it is always nice, I think, for us horror fans to have these stupid dates on the calendar to have an excuse to go, let's watch something scary.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we're talking about a scary movie first, aren't we, Simon? What is our first movie today?
Our first movie is VHS 85.
Oh, God, I'm wincing.
Why is that scary? even without context, VHS, the, you know, nostalgic technology. We learned this week that Pete Davidson is buying sealed VHS tapes because he believes he can flip them in the future to people who are hungry for nostalgia.
He's such a strange character.
But the VHS franchise, Pam, I appreciate if you're not familiar with it or a fan of it, but it's been around for about 10 years now. And for those who aren't familiar, it's sort of based on the premise that they're short films. It's an anthology horror film series. So four or five shorts based around found footage recorded on VHS tapes. Now, they've sort of bent the rules over the course of the franchise. It's not always VHS. It's not always found footage. But that's sort of the guiding light of the series. And like with any anthology movie, and there's a great lineage of anthology horror films from Creepshow, and even in more recent years, out of the Austin film scene where this movie emerged, like the ABCs of Death. Do you remember that one, Cecilia?
I do, yeah.
So that was 26 short films based on each letter of the alphabet.
Oh, my God.
There are hits, there are misses. Some can be funny, some can be silly, some can be downright terrifying. Cecilia, are you a fan of or aware of the VHS franchise?
I am aware of the franchise. I haven't watched it consistently, but I've seen bits and pieces. And I think, yeah, the beauty of an anthology is that if you watch one that you don't necessarily love, there's always something in the, you know, the
around
film
the corner, yeah,
that you do like. So, and I like that, being able to go, what's up next? So
that's kind of the fun of it. And certainly in the early days of the VHS franchise, even if you didn't like one of the shorts, in a minimum 15 minutes, another one was coming. So why wouldn't you stick around?
Yeah, okay. I get you.
There was VHS, VHS 2, VHS Viral. And then they started being year-specific with VHS 94, which I think is the masterpiece of the genre, and then VHS 99 last year, and now VHS 85. And they've gotten to a point now where they're being released on Shudder, our horror-centric streaming service, yearly. Every October, and I love it. I think that, you know, if the bloody U.S. House of Representatives can get its damn act together, they should reach across the aisle and legislate for it to be illegal to not make these yearly. Because they are so fun, and VHS 85 definitely fulfills that bargain. It's five short films. There's always, like, a wraparound, you know, short that ties them all together. Pam, I should ask, actually, are you familiar with...
I have no idea.
Yeah, so you've never even heard of the franchise.
I've never even heard of it, but I love the idea of found footage. Maybe that's what we were talking about before we've spoken about it. Maybe that's what could get me in, the idea of, like, the visual element being quite stimulating and interesting. So if it's found footage, that's kind of even spookier, but interesting.
And it's always interesting how they not find the footage, but... what the footage... No. What I mean is, like, there are so many different ways to interpret found footage, which I think is quite inventive in this series. And I should also say it emerged, 10 years ago from that Austin film scene, and the shorts were directed by Ty West, who's a great independent film director, Joe Swanberg, who kind of emerged from the mumblecore movement. And are they called Radio Silence, Cecilia? These are the guys that revamped Scream in the last couple of years. They go, it's like three directors, they go by a name. I think it's Radio Silence.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I won't do the listeners the disservice of Googling while I'm talking. But they were the ones who sort of built this franchise, and it's carried on from there. And so you get five different films, five different directors with VHS 85. And again, I won't spoil what happens in each story because some of them are short enough to be basically... set up punchline kind of bits, you know?
Yeah.
But there is a short film about a bunch of horny 20-somethings going to the lake. How very Friday the 13th. They go to the lake and they want to have fun on the lake.
It's always bad at the lake.
Yeah, the lake.
It's nothing ever good happens at the lake.
Yeah, and it's always the lake.
Yeah.
So they go to the lake, something terrible happens, but then something really bad happens, and that's sort of the the fun twist on this particular film. There's another one called Techno God, spelled T-K-N-O-G-D, and it's this really fun one-woman show. She's recording her one-woman show in which she's decrying our new technology-focused world. Again, this is 1985, so 1985 technology. And she puts on a virtual reality headset and we see what she's seeing in this kind of lawnmower man setting. But wouldn't you know it, the virtual reality is haunted.
Oh.
However, the audience aren't sure if it's really haunted or if this is the play.
Oh.
And that's kind of the funny element of that one. There's Dream Killer, in which a police detective is getting sent these grainy, seemingly home movie slasher videos, and then going to a crime scene a few days later and discovering this was the video that I was sent a few days ago.
Oh.
But this clearly happened last night.
Oh.
So where are the videos coming from? And that kind of has more of a, even though it's set in the 80s because of the VHS element, those grainy videos have this sort of 70s, you know, grindhouse feel to them. So there's a lot of different textures to the films. I haven't even mentioned the best one, which I'm going to be very light on details. It involves a 17-year-old girl being inducted into a family tradition. And that is all I'm going to say about
what,
that.
What, Simon? I was ready to take my headphones off for a second there and plug my ears.
That's all I'm going to give you. Because, again, these aren't 90-minute films. They're not two-hour films. They're 20 minutes. And that's, again, the fun of it. That's the pleasure of it. One or two of them, they don't fall flat. I think they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I do also think the VHS franchise has gotten to a point where, you know, consistency is king. And the good news is that, you know, Cecilia and yourself, Pam, you don't need to go back to VHS 1. You don't need to watch all six films.
Okay.
You don't need to watch even the feature-length films that have been spun off from some of the shorts over the past few years. You can start at any point. You can pull up a random short and it still kind of works. Pam, I don't know if this has sold it to you, but you mentioned, so you're intrigued by found footage?
Oh,
Are you a fan of, like, maybe we have discussed this, but like Paranormal Activity?
No.
And,
absolutely not.
All right, so what
too close to reality. Too close to being, like, something that could happen in my house, I think. I think I'm definitely okay with dipping into, like, aesthetically pleasing horror. Oh, God, I don't even want to say it. I can't. But I think I could maybe. But and the idea of found footage is interesting. But I like the idea that they're short. Like, it's like a small amount of being scared. So maybe I could, like, watch it in the daytime with a housemate and it would be okay.
I think so. And there's, you know, VHS 94 has some very scary ones, obviously, but it also has a really funny one called Storm Drain, which I highly recommend. VHS 99, last year's one, the closing one of that was really funny, called To Hell and Back, where literally a couple of documentarians accidentally get sucked to hell. And they meet,
what?
And they meet, like, a cool witch who's just been chilling out in hell.
This sounds great. Yeah. I immediately want to watch that
And
one.
So that's really fun. And so, you know, when we talk, you know, Cecilia, and I think you agree with this, is that, you know, we love horror.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam looks at us and goes, you're both insane. But horror movies, they're like roller coaster rides. They're theme park attractions. They're like ghost trains at their best, I think. You know, we're not talking necessarily about the slow horror or the dread of like a Hereditary or a Midsummer or what have you. We kind of want to go and jump in our seat and laugh and kind of have a bit of a silly, goofy, gross time. And I think the VHS franchise is really good at delivering that. Is that fair to say? Is that what you look for in a horror film?
Absolutely. I love that this allows for that creativity from, you know, different directors and writers to kind of, you know, bring in what they consider horror. And I love that horror can be, you know, funny. It can be gross. It can be grotesque. You know, absurd, bizarre. So, yeah, I think for me, when I look for a horror, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Something, you know, fun to watch and just kind of cringe out. But, not be too much dread there, like Hereditary or Midsummer, two films I'll never watch again. traumatise me. But, this is on the watch list. I think I'm going to watch it tonight. Sounds fantastic.
I think maybe you've got me with the silliness, with the absurdity. Mm-hmm. Maybe if it's funny, then I'll get it.
Pam, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to curate, like, the shorts across the VHS franchise that you should watch.
Okay.
And then I'll say, like, VHS 2 has a short called Safe Haven, which is maybe the scariest film ever made. It's a half-hour film from Gareth Evans, who made the Raid movies, incredibly, and it is terrifying. So I don't want you to see that one, Pam.
Okay.
You can do a little scare rating from, like, 1 to 5.
Oh, like the spice?
Yeah.
Like
spice.
A restaurant? Yeah, spice level.
But if you could rate the spice level of all
chili.
Of those movies,
yeah,
and then I'll watch, like, one or two of them and see how I go.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can check back in next week.
Perfect. I'm going to throw the chilies on and give you some time codes, Pam.
Oh,
but VHS 85 for everyone else. It's now streaming on Shudder or AMC Plus, if you have that, in Australia. Sample the whole franchise.
Oh, do it. We'll be back to talk more movies on Breakfast, less horror.
Welcome to the Australian Record Industry Awards, coming to you by...
And the golden guitar goes to Angie Cowan.
The early buzz on my live shows compared me to a female Bob Dylan. You're so serious, I'm so free. Remember the afternoon we did meet, been nicking north and south and yet never
spent. You better come in.
Thank you.
I'm Angie.
I'm Ruby.
Hey, Ruby.
She wanted to leave this world more than she wanted to look after me.
We're going to jump into another. Cecilia, what's our second movie of today?
It's called Three Chords and the Truth. It's an Aussie indie film, and it's the debut feature from Claire Pavlovsky. Mm-hmm. I think I've just butchered her name there. Sorry, Claire. But it stars Brisbane musician Jackie Marshall, who I had no idea who this was. Do you guys know Jackie Marshall at all?
No, the name's not familiar to me.
Okay. No.
She's a Brisbane musician. She wrote the music and the lyrics to all the songs in the film, and she plays Angie Kelvin, and it's kind of inspired by her real life. She's, you know, when we meet Angie, she's fallen on hard times. You know, she's playing, you know, these kind of local pub gigs to, you know, make ends meet. But unfortunately, she's also been diagnosed with bone cancer, having, you know, overcome cancer in the past as well. She's in her, you know, kind of mid to late 40s. But she's in the process of putting together a new album, which she's funding herself. And meanwhile, she takes in Ruby, played by Maisie Owens, this homeless teenager who she finds in her car one day. And she's grieving the passing of her mother. And ultimately, it's a story of friendship that develops between the two. But Angie teaches, you know, this young girl to write music and, you know, to channel her emotions through, you know, songwriting. So, yeah, really it's a film about the, you know, the powerfulness of, you know, songwriting. It's a low budget film, and it kind of came together when Jackie met Claire at the making of a short documentary film called Big Sky Girls, which is about a mentorship program in which young women from, you know, remote areas of Australia come together and, you know, are mentored into writing songs. So Claire directed that short film, and that's how the two met, and this is what spawned this film. So I love how the film came together. It is a low budget film. I did feel like it was a little undercooked, but in the same sense, it was, I think it's got a strong message there about that, you know, friendship and, you know, songwriting and music as a whole. So I found the film really interesting. I didn't know anything about Jackie Marshall as a songwriter. I don't know how much of this is truth, but I feel like a lot of it is. And, you know, she had a lot of say in the film. It's her first time acting as well. I don't know if she had the acting chops. But look, I'm not going to criticise her on that because I think she's a fantastic person. Her music is beautiful. And I think that even if you just go to this film to listen to the music, it's still a bit of a ride there as well. So I think it's got all the elements of a good film. I just don't think it was, you know, overly well executed. It's probably not for me, but in saying that, there were still moments in the film that I really enjoyed. So.
Well, it's so hard, isn't it? And we try not to grade on a curve, you know, like you kind of got to put any film up against any film and go like, you know, it works or it doesn't work. And that's giving the film respect as well. But then, you know, the particular circumstances around this movie, it being a singer-songwriter who has effectively written the songs for the movie and has, did you say self-funded the movie as well? Or was that just in the bones of the story?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's self-funding her album. So, but regardless, like this interesting project, you know, again, I'm not trying to treat it with kid gloves. I've not seen it yet. But there's a lot there that I think would resonate even in WA with with Perth artists and RTRFM artists as well. What genre is the music? Like, is it, I'm getting a country vibe, or I'm getting a sort of bluesy kind of vibe to
country
it.
Country blues type of music. And I think you're right. I think this will resonate with a lot of WA musicians. I think Perth has a fantastic music scene. So I think that for any film where you have a musician just, you know, trying to, you know, make an album and share their music is always wonderful. And I always respect low-budget films because I think that they don't have the power of, you know, big budget, special effects, you know, things like that. So I always, when I go and see an indie film, I always try and watch it from that lens. You know, look, what have they been able to achieve with the budget? And I don't actually know the budget, but I did try and do a little bit of research, couldn't find it. But yeah, I respect the film and, you know, what they've been able to achieve with that budget and, you know, the location and...
Well, the big thing with budget as well, people, you know, just because there aren't special effects... what a budget gives you is time.
Exactly.
And that's something that, you know, when you're talking about a film that's made for $50,000, $500,000, even $1 million, whatever it might be, versus a $20 million movie, that means that there's time. Mm-hmm. Rather low-budget films have to be kind of cut and run. Let's go, get to the location, everyone's set up, one or two takes, let's move. So that sometimes is, you know, and a filmmaker may sit there and go like, I didn't get what I really wanted. I didn't get what I needed. Mm-hmm. But they don't have the Marvel budget to go and do 9 weeks of reshoots like they do for every movie. So, you know, it again, even the filmmakers themselves, if they go like, it's kind of compromised, it's not exactly what I want. But if you can get some element of truth there, and it sounds like there's at least a little bit of that through Jackie's story. But totally respect that it's not for you, Cecilia, as well.
Yeah,
that's a perfectly fine thing to say.
Yeah, not for me, but at the same time, yeah, I think that it's a great first debut for Claire as a film. She's done a few shorts, and she's obviously music is her passion because her short films are music related too. So, look, I think it's a great first film, and I think the story itself is lovely, and yeah, I think a great first attempt. Just not for me, but at the same time, I think it will definitely resonate with a lot of people, particularly in Perth, who are on the music scene, which is, we have a great music scene here.
Yeah, we absolutely do, and a great thing to be able to look into and see yourself on screen in some sort of capacity or representation-wise. So it sounds interesting in that regard.
Yeah. Would you see this, Pam?
I think I could see it. Yeah, absolutely. It might not be a cinema goer for me, but it might be something that I'd pop on a weeknight or a weekend, something that I'm interested in but I don't need to see on the big screen.
Yeah.
I think that's the sounds of it from me.
Yep. And it's quite a short, sweet story as well, so it doesn't linger too much as well. And, yeah, I think there's a friendship there. And I always love that friendship between two people from different walks of life. You know, you've got Jackie who's, you know, a little bit older, struggling, and then a young, much younger girl who come together, and that's kind of mentor-menteeship type relationship.
Oh, so, yeah, and we know I love a mother-daughter situation.
Exactly.
I love it. I love any kind of dynamic that's a little bit like that. So, yeah, maybe I would go see it, I think. Simon?
No, it sounds very interesting. It does sound interesting. And Cecilia, you know this as well, like film critics, we watch a lot of films. And I do feel encouraged, even, you know, going back to VHS 85 to a degree where they're short films, it's often a filmmaker's, you know, not first crack, but they're effectively getting called up to the minor leagues before the major leagues. And sometimes films serve best as calling cards. And you go, I see the seeds here for what the next thing could be. And being able to even be witness to that is exciting, even if the film itself is not tantalizing. This one's not singing to me a huge amount. Cecilia, you're not exactly raving about it here, so it's not jumping to the top of my list. But obviously I have a deep-seated interest in music and this kind of artist journey. So Three Chords and the Truth, if it's singing to you, it's out in cinemas now, I believe.
It is out in cinemas now. Now, across the weekend, what's on the watch list? What are we thinking about this weekend?
I'm still reworking through the Saw franchise in the lead up to Halloween.
That's happy for you about that.
That's what I've chosen to do with my life currently. Cecilia, what are you watching?
Ooh, this is... I'm going to start watching the fall of the House of... Oh, my gosh, I've just butchered that too.
No, that's all right,
the
isn't
house,
it?
No,
the fall of the House of Usher.
Usher, yeah. Thank you, which is Mike Flanagan's new series on Netflix, of course, based on the short story by Edgar Allan Poe. So I'm going to give that a go. It's a gothic horror type things. So I'm interested to see how he's adapted this. But I'm a huge fan of Mike Flanagan stuff, so hopefully I'll enjoy this.
Exciting.
Pam, I reckon, what have you seen recently?
I saw Past Lives recently. That was excellent. I went to the cinema with my mum. She really loved it. Lots of tears at the end, but it was a lot sadder than I thought it was going to be. Mm. And not in a, we talked about this a little bit off air, but not in a weepy way, which is what Simon said. It definitely had this just overarching melancholy feel, but this moment, or so many moments across the film where I couldn't look away from the screen. I was totally, enveloped in this story, and I was on the edge of my seat, and my heart was coming out of my face, and I really felt, I felt like the way that they put that story together made whoever was watching that unfold feel everything that those characters were feeling towards each other, whether that was frustrated or upset or torn. It was really well communicated and well involved with the audience. So I did really appreciate that. I hadn't seen a movie like that for a long time that really reached into my chest and tore my heart out to watch it, and I think it's one of those movies that sounds like maybe it would be a horrible thing to watch, but it was so wonderful to, as a reminder that you're alive and that you're, that there's love out there and that there's all these wonderful connections available, and it's definitely served as a great reminder for that.
Movies are meant to manipulate you. Oh. We say it's like it's a bad thing. It's, you're describing the exact same thing we get from horror films. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm alive. Do you want an unfun fact about Past Lives? It's fun / unfun.
Okay.
So Greta Lee is the lead of that film. Fantastic. One of the best performances of the year. She's great. She was not originally cast in the film. Someone else was cast in the movie.
Really?
They haven't said who, but then that actor dropped out and Greta Lee was the second choice.
Wow, but she's so brilliant.
She's so brilliant in it. Hopefully she gets an Oscar nomination and all the plaudits she deserves. But so interesting to watch the film and go like, well, it has to be her.
Oh, yeah. And with all of those other actors too. Really fantastic. And then probably the Beckham doco is my watch for the weekend, so a bit of a flip over there. But it's going to be a great weekend. We got lots of stuff on the cards. Movie Squad, of course, there's extra stuff to listen to. As always, jump on and listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And I'll be back next week with more reviews. Thanks for another great week.
Thank you. So there you have it, two wonderful reviews. And a few bonus reviews there, actually, getting Pam's insight into Past Lives. And she invoked a word, a brand, a name, a movie, Beckham, right at the end there. She's planning on watching that this weekend. Cecilia, you've already seen Beckham.
I have.
That was potentially on the cards for review this week, but we thought, no, we'll take a look at a cinema release. But why don't you tell us a little bit about Beckham and what drew you to even watching it in the first place?
Yeah, I don't actually know. It kind of popped up on my Netflix and I thought, yeah, I'm going to give this a go. I'm a bit of a sports fan.
I was going to say, you're a sports doco fan actually as well.
Yeah,
you love a few of those.
I do. I really do. And yeah, this is a 4-part series. The episodes are quite long. They're, an hour or just over an hour each. But yeah, it really explores the life of David Beckham and mainly his career, right at the beginning and right through to, retirement. But yeah, it goes through his ups and downs. Starting in, Manchester United, then moving to playing for England, the kind of controversial red card that he gets, which, in some people's view, lost England, it was the reason why England lost the game. And yeah, and it also goes into his relationship with Victoria Beckham as well, Posh and Bex, as they were dubbed back in the 90s.
Were you obsessed with Posh and Bex when you were growing up?
I was a bit of a Spice Girls fan. Yeah. So yeah, I think I found out about David Beckham through Victoria Spice Girls. And yeah, it kind of goes into their relationship too. But I think the interesting thing about this documentary is though it does explore his career and his relationship and, his life, but it also looks at how the paparazzi were obsessed with Posh and Bex in the 90s and how they kind of graced the cover of, every magazine for days. And they were really put under this lens and, picked to pieces for anything that they did, big or small. And yeah, it was just really bizarre, and England, they love their football. So, anything he did wrong was always criticised as well. And, following that red card and, the other team getting to, this penalty shot, which won them the game, he was just absolutely slaughtered after this, called names, spat on, just booed for, months after. So, yeah, just a, And even seeing him talk about that, you can see how emotional he gets. So, yeah, a really interesting look at his life and career and where he is now as well. So
I think it'd be so interesting. I love a sports documentary as well. I haven't been so compelled to watch this one, to be totally honest with you, primarily because it's a Netflix doco,
yeah,
and their threshold for quality historically I find quite low. You know, I really like the 30 for 30 docos that,
yes,
ESPN make, and they're brilliant. The Netflix ones I've found quite lacking. So even though I'm intrigued by this, I've sort of been put off to a degree. But I'm intrigued because that villainization and lionization in the UK media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have tall poppy syndrome in Australian media, crazy. But the UK is a whole other world. And it's still within that, like, you know, that 5-year period of Princess Di being absolutely hounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be interesting. I believe Netflix is also releasing the final series of The Crown shortly, which will center on that same period of time, you know, 97,
wow,
or thereabouts. So not that I watch The Crown either, but I find it interesting as as an area to explore. But yeah, your enthusiasm for it makes me definitely more intrigued. And I have absolutely seen the viral bit going around of Beckham telling Posh to not lie about her working class upbringing, which I found quite amusing.
Yeah, I think people have this idea of Posh being quite stuck up, and I don't know where that ever came from, but she's quite down to earth and really raw in her interviews, yeah, in this as well. So,
but maybe not working class.
Maybe not working class. But yeah, no, I appreciate their interviews as well. They're very open and honest with this documentary.
Nice,
so,
one.
Well, docuseries.
Cecilia, thank you so much. Always great to have you on. You'll be back next week. We'll very likely be looking at Killers of the Flower Moon, the new Martin Scorsese film. We might find another horror film to squeeze in there because we've still got a few weeks before Halloween. But in the meantime, tell your friends to listen to the Movie Squad podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes or whichever streaming and podcasting app you use. And tune in to RTRFM, Brekkie with Pam, every day, 6 to 9 a.m., the entire 3-hour broadcast, but especially 7:30 on a Friday. Cecilia, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.